Welcome to God and Country Radio, where it discusses current social, economic, political, prophetic events on life scripture. I'm your Bible and social commentator, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. You ask, why is a pastor addressing political issues? Well, have you ever read the Bible? Every biblical prophet addressed the social, political issues of his day. And it's through politics, men work together in the state to either show their fidelity to God or their abandonment of God. In the words of Martin Luther King, the church is not the master of the state, it's not the servant of the state, but it's the conscience of the state. And as John Adams said in 1798, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. In other words, the Constitution doesn't work unless the citizenship is operating under a higher, transcendent moral law. The people have to be good people. And there's good people and there's bad people. Adam also said in that speech that without a religious citizenship, the strongest cords of our Constitution would be broken as a whale goes through a net. So how does a nation get a righteous citizenship? Public schools? So from where do public school teachers get their values? From the universities? Well, where do the universities and the professors there get their values? You see, it's the church that needs to teach the people and not be relegated to the four walls of a monastery. I can't emphasize enough that the Constitution of the United States is not enough. It's not an adequate moral guide. Without God's moral law written in nature, written in our conscience, written in scripture, constitutional rights will simply be applied to the right to do evil. Freedom becomes the freedom to sin. Equality becomes a moral equivalency between good and evil. Democracy becomes the rule of the evil mob. All that to say, this is why I put these programs together. The topic for this week and what I want us to think about is false teachers. What the Bible says about false teachers. In the New Testament, the Greek word for false is pseudo, just like our English word pseudo, meaning to be false or fake or spurious or a lie. The Latin word for false is falsus. We speak more Latin and Greek than we realize. So in the New Testament, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." He also said in the Olivet Discourse, "Many false prophets will arise and mislead many." The Apostle Paul wrote about false witnesses, 1 Corinthians 15:15, false apostles, 2 Corinthians 11, false brethren, Galatians chapter 2, and false knowledge, 1 Timothy 6. And the Apostle Peter warned of false prophets and false teachers and false words in 2 Peter 2. And the Apostle John in the book of the Revelation warns of a coming global political figure called the Antichrist, but he's supported by someone called the false prophet. This warning against the pseudo-teacher is no small subject in the Bible. It's on every page. Because God's people are a minority in a fallen, sinful world that by default and by nature is opposed to God, opposed to his ways, his authority, his law. 1 John 4, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." Don't be naive. "But test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, this may sound arrogant and condescending that certain people with a certain faith are of the truth and everyone else is wrong, but that's exactly what Jesus taught. There are those who are of the light and those who are of the darkness. There are those who are of the truth and those who are of the pseudo. You know, the Apostle John concludes his letter to the churches with this following declaration. 1 John 5, we know that we're of God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So notice the words. We know. We have an understanding, and there is truth. And that is a dogmatic confidence that secular relativists hate, but it is the reality of this world. There's that which is right and that which is wrong. There's that which conforms to our Creator, to his universe, and that which does not conform. And God, our Creator, is very concerned about what's morally right and wrong. One has to believe in absolutes because God is God. Absolutes aren't wrong. They're not unjust intolerance. If you don't believe in God's absolutes and you follow the pseudo, you'll be a blind man groping along the wall. Isaiah 59. As Jesus said, you'll be a blind man leading blind men, and you'll all fall into a pit. But in regard to false teachers, here's the point that people fail to see. The biblical description of false teachers is not just relegated to what we consider religion. False teachers in the church, false teachers in cults. But the biblical description includes political leaders, university educators, journalists, authors, news commentators. They can all meet the biblical definition and condemnation of false teachers. You see, the Bible doesn't do what we do in our contemporary culture, make a separation between the religious world and the secular world. The Bible describes God as being over all. Everything is religious. Every person has a soul and is spiritual. Everyone is operating on some transcendent value. Now, it's either based on God's values or Satan's values, or either God is God or you are God. But either way, it's a transcendent value. There is a deity, a source of transcendent authority. Now, you can call something non-religious all you want, but that doesn't make it so. Secular humanism is actually a religion. In the 1961 case, the Supreme Court even declared that secular humanism is a religion and hence protected by First Amendment rights. You know, part of the reason for the current fallacy of not regarding everything as religious is public education. The myth that there is and can be neutrality in public education, that anything atheistic is non-religious and therefore permitted, and anything that mentions God is not permitted. What a clever way to violate the Constitution and have the state establish a pagan religion, where secular humanism becomes the state religion and Christianity is outlawed. So bravo, bravo. You know, we applaud the cleverness of unbelievers, and that all they had to do is redefine the meaning of religion and relegate any references to God to some unacceptable transcendent values. But man being God is just fine. Now, one thing about the ancient world is that there was no separation between the political world and the religious world. The ancient people were honest enough to realize every value, every policy was religious in nature. It wasn't because they were just superstitious. It was because they were admitting the obvious, something that 20th century atheists have tried to hide. Now, for example, the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah spoke extensively against the false, the pseudo-prophets in his day. They cried peace, peace when there was no peace. They led the people astray. They prophesied deceptions from their own heart. But what were they saying? Were they speaking against the existence of God? No. Were they speaking against the existence of the supernatural? No. The false prophets were giving false political counsel to the king concerning foreign policy. Because the prophets, which simply means those who have insight, were the king's advisors. They were the president's cabinet. They were the thought leaders of the day, the chatter class. And anyone who was teaching a value or a policy was labeled a prophet, because there's no separation between the religious and the non-religious. And everyone admitted to and couched all of their arguments in those transcendent terms. The false prophets then are just like false prophets today. They would say they believe that the policy of Israel should be such and such because this is what they claim to be the transcendent values of the Creator. In reality, it was their own values that they were superimposing upon God, but they at least admitted it was religious. So here's the point. Karl Marx and Joseph Engels, the founders of communism, were false teachers, teaching that salvation, deliverance, and righteousness comes by doing away with private property. Nancy Pelosi, in pushing the Equality Act, which makes transgenderism a civil right, she is being a false teacher. David Cicilline, the sponsor of the Equality Act, a homosexual congressman from Rhode Island, he is also a false teacher. Gavin Newsom is a false teacher in fining a California school district $1.5 million for not including LGBTQ curriculum. Abram Kendi is a false teacher in his racist worldviews. President Joe Biden is a false teacher in promoting abortion and transgenderism and diversity, equality, and inclusion in America. Hillary Clinton, in her promotion of abortion, is a false teacher. No different than the prophets of Baal, who taught the virtues of child sacrifice. Back in 2016, I dedicated a whole program to Hillary Clinton's roots. Her false ideology came from the liberal Methodist church in which she was raised. In her biography, she describes how a young pastor by the name of Don Jones came to her church when she was a teenager. He was a graduate of the liberal Drew University School of Theology. And rather than preaching the gospel and biblical moral truth, he preached Marxist liberation theology. And Hillary writes that this man's influence on her was profound. Pastor Jones wanted to expose the young people in the church to the economic, racial, class struggles in the world, just like Karl Marx defined the problem. He invited an atheist to the youth group to debate the existence of God. He taught the theology and existentialism of Paul Tillich, a theologian from the German school of rationalism that sought to debunk the Bible. He took the young people to hear Martin Luther King Jr. After 2 years, the elders at this Methodist church, some remaining conservatives in the denomination, asked Jones to leave. Now, the left claims this is because of racist attitudes in the church, but it wasn't about racism. The man was a false teacher, denying the doctrines of Christ. But the left never wants to admit to that. They always want to find some excuse to impugn people's motives. Just call it racism. Well, the Methodist denomination has really been taken over by unsafe false teachers. And it began back in the 1960s. So today, Methodism is one of the most liberal denominations in America, supporting abortion, homosexual marriages, homosexual clergy, anti-Israel, pro-communism. You know, the same false prophets and teachers that the biblical prophets spoke against in Israel are still with us today, bringing down the nation. Now, they may use the name of Jehovah God, but they're actually following false gods by attributing to Jehovah God the character of Baal. Now, in addition to her church, Hillary got a near full of false teaching at Wellesley College, a women's college in Massachusetts, a whole faculty filled with false teachers. So, Clinton, like thousands of other politicians, listened to these false teachers, the teachers she had chosen to be attracted to, and she became a leading false teacher herself, which is how this works. Every man after he's fully taught will be like his teacher. Luke chapter 6. And Jesus spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. So the point is this. Let's stop thinking of leftist politicians as simply public spokespersons or representatives. They're false teachers. And like the Bible, we need to call this out. If you're a politician promoting transgenderism, globalism, abortion, you're what the Bible defines as a false teacher. If you're a CNN commentator promoting a leftist ideology, you're a false teacher. You know, for too long, our social leaders have been promoting pseudo-doctrine and have hidden under the guise of just being politicians or social political commentators. But no, all that the Bible says about false teachers, their origin, their error, their judgment to come, applies to social leaders. And remember again, the false prophet is one of the key figures mentioned in the book of the Revelation. Don't miss what the Bible is saying there about the role of false teaching in political ideology. This political antichrist will be supported by and advanced by a false teacher. A teacher of an ideology, a worldview, a philosophy of life that will promote a satanic belief in human autonomy and freedom. Now, because this individual is called a prophet, that doesn't mean he's going to reference God, although he might. The point is that he's prophesying falsehood. To prophesy simply means to proclaim what one sees. So again, all that we learn about false teachers in the Bible needs to be applied to our current day political false prophets if we're to truly understand their error. For example, what is the origin of false teaching? What causes a false teacher to be a false teacher? Well, the Bible gives us the origin. And the same origin for false teachers in the church is the same origin for false teachers in society. Rationalism, human reason over divine revelation. Assuming that what one imagines and what one thinks must be good and must be right. Because why would God, if there is a God, want something different from what I want? So notice the origin of false teaching, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 26. The prophets prophesy falsely, a deception of their own hearts. Jeremiah 23:16. They speak a vision from their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah 14:14. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and deception of their own minds. Ezekiel 13:3. Woe to the foolish prophet who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. Micah 2:11, they walk after wind and falsehood and have told lies. Matthew 15:8, they teach as doctrines the precepts of men. 2 Timothy 4:3, these people will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. So false teaching is always rooted in people assuming that their own values and their own opinions are right. I was just reading a bio of a LGBTQ activist, and he wrote that as a young person, he always felt that he should be a girl and not a boy. And the Christian response to that is, so what? All of us feel all sorts of things that are not right and natural, but that doesn't mean we go with our feelings. The spiritually, emotionally healthy person has just as many bad feelings and unnatural thoughts as everyone else. But he simply says to himself, I'm going to do what's right, not what I feel. And then right feelings will follow. But the spiritually and emotionally unhealthy person has bad feelings and thoughts and thinks to himself, well, this must be right. Because what I feel is the truth. I like this, and what I like must be right. It's assumed. I must be affirmed, not denied. This is the philosophy of Rousseau, that man's natural state, his natural self is good, It's only the external morals and social constructs of society that make him evil. There's no thought today of what Jesus said about self-denial. There is inner sin and rebellion that we must suppress. The spiritually healthy person realizes this. The spiritually unhealthy person who makes evil choices affirms his sinful self. And this problem is being exacerbated in our nation because children are actually being taught that whatever they feel is right, you be you. Because there's no belief in human sin and depravity, there is no other law to be followed except the law of self. Every modern children's book teaches self-acceptance rather than self-denial. But again, this is not just an issue that applies to sexual morality. Every political false teacher comes to their false teaching on the same basis, exalting their own desires and thoughts as the truth, and then rallying to themselves every other deviant thinking person in society. Consider the arrogance of this. Going out and professing to be a social leader, professing that your values, your feelings are the source of truth, you are the law. And the arrogance of false teachers is one of the themes in what the Bible teaches about false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 2. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires. Jude 16, these are grumblers, fault finders, following after their own lusts, they speak arrogantly. And in the Revelation, the Antichrist, in bringing in his false worldview, is described as a mouth that speaks arrogant words. But someone might say, wait a minute. Don't Christians and true prophets do the same thing? They assume the values and the teachings of the Bible are correct. Is that not also an autonomous human choice to choose for the Bible? And who's to say that Moses's, Jesus's, Peter's, Paul's opinions are any more right than Joe Biden's opinions? And this is the claim of critics, that aren't Christians also teaching as doctrines the commandments of men? Well, in a world that believes in relativism, that would be true. But there is a true God, and there is absolute truth. And the scriptures themselves state that people have a God-given conscience. And at some point, they know they are choosing against God and for self. But it is their pride that drives their choice and blinds their mind. So this is the way of false teachers. Be aware of who they are and what they're doing. As Jesus said, many false prophets will arise and mislead many. I will discuss this topic in greater length in my YouTube and Rumble video versions of this program. But let me leave us with this challenge. If this is the way of false teachers, this should cause us all the more to be dedicated to conforming our values and our ideas with Scripture and become all the more dedicated to check what we say with the Scripture. Because it's no small thing to be a false prophet. We are to be people of the truth. Again, 1 John 5, we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can get all of the links to my YouTube and Rumble channels, the extended video version of this program. That's godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. And from there, you can email me. Always like to hear from you. So thanks for listening. Thanks for paying some attention to some theological commentary. Psalm 119, the entrance of God's word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we confess that the truth is in Jesus. And hence, the truth, only the truth, will set us free. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.